This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Now that the economic impasse has been resolved in Washington, the local focus moves on to Milwaukee's city and county budgets. Mayor Tom Barrett and County Executive Chris Abley have both issued their proposed budgets for the coming fiscal year, and debate on those documents is underway. The nonpartisan Public Policy Forum this week issued its analyses of those proposals. Forum President Rob Hankin spoke about their budget briefs with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke and addressed what he sees as the common theme in both proposed budgets.
Well, I think actually there's quite a few similarities between the fiscal predicament of the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Common themes are, number one, very large employer pension contributions that crowd out other needs. Number two, aging infrastructure that requires some serious attention. And number three, very stagnant, if not declining, state and federal aids.
So let's look first at the proposed county budget, if we could. And you start by looking back 5 years and the budget situation that was then on life support or intensive care. How has the situation changed since the economy and the budget was in that deep trough?
By far, the most remarkable change has been on the healthcare front. Healthcare inflation has been 8 to 10% roughly for not only Milwaukee County and other public sector employers, but private sector employers as well. And the county has actually been able to reduce its healthcare spending over the past several years. Now, that is linked to a variety of things, not the least of which was the adoption of Wisconsin Act 10, which gave the county the flexibility to unilaterally implement some very substantial changes to its healthcare offerings, increasing healthcare premiums, putting a lot more of a burden on county employees to share the cost of rising healthcare. The county also took some other steps in terms of plan design that simply were able to save it money. Now, mind you, Act 10 also produced some negative consequences for county government in terms of the loss of, well, not directly related to Act 10, but the state budget that followed Act 10 had some significant cuts not only in state shared revenues, but in transit funding and in other aid programs that did harm the county. But on balance, I think it's these healthcare savings, the ability also to see several successive years of positive returns on the pension fund. So while the pension contribution skyrocketed for several successive years, we've now seen it stabilize and even decline a little bit. I think the county's issuance of pension obligation bonds, it got the timing exactly right. I think everybody would admit that was more luck than skill, but the fact is that it worked, and that too is reaping some dividends.
Well, and I think it was last year that you posed the question about how long the county could keep looking to things like employee health care costs to achieve savings. How would you compare the proposed budget for the next fiscal year as far as health care goes to what was accomplished in the current year's budget?
Well, I think it is one of the most interesting elements of this year's county budget, and really to me one of the most interesting elements as we think about how Act 10 is going to play out across the state. There were some very large initial savings to be gained when the flexibility was granted to local governments. The question is, as we raised last year, can you continue to ask your employees to pay more for their health care, considerably more every year? Is that a sustainable strategy in terms of workplace, workforce morale, and recruitment and retention? And many people do need to pay more for their health care every year. The problem is that the health care premium changes that are being proposed in this year's budget do exceed the wage increases, so that for the third successive year, most county employees are going to see an overall decline in their compensation. So what we're seeing this year, Mitch, is a change in the premiums. There is not the plan design that we've seen in previous years. There's not an effort to deal with copays and deductibles. But employee premiums for their monthly payments are going up. A flexible spending account contribution that the county had been making would go away under the county executive's proposal. And that means that the average employee is going to pay more.
There has been some talk about shifting county workers' health care to the health exchanges created under the Affordable Care Act. Is that something, given the current budget reality, that it would behoove the county to look at?
I think without question would behoove the county to look at it. I think it's still a very preliminary idea. The basic thinking is that when you look at the annual cost of what the county is paying for both families and individuals and compare that to what the cost might be to provide similar coverage under the healthcare exchange, it appears at first glance that there might be a substantial savings there. But I think there's a lot of detail that still needs to be worked out. And really, in the budget, there's a paragraph saying we want to look at this, but I don't think they're counting on those savings yet.
You also write with some concern about a couple of the proposals, including the extent of the cuts being called for within the sheriff's departments.
Yes. And again, what we've seen from this county executive now for three straight years are really the backbone of deficit cutting efforts in terms of trying to gain control of some of these key cost drivers is on the healthcare front and in the sheriff's budget. So for the third straight year, we're seeing major changes proposed. We are also seeing a host of functions transferred out of the sheriff's office and to other county departments. I think where the concern arises is a very legitimate debate can occur about whether, to the extent that the sheriff is performing services that are not necessarily mandated by state law and or that could ostensibly be handled by municipal police departments, I think those are the types of services that you want to have a conversation around. Can they be reduced? But when it comes to these mandated services, to running the jail, expressway patrol, things of that nature, I think the concern is that there has been so much cutting over the past several years that even those core mandated services, the sheriff may have trouble performing at the level that he needs to, particularly given that the corrections population appears to again be on the rise. So that's where we think that some discussion needs to occur.
Let's talk about the proposed city budget. And we talked about this last year as well. You cite good planning back in 2010 as a key reason for the relatively strong fiscal position the city is in today.
Yes. The city leaders, to their credit, had a lot of foresight. They saw the way the city pension fund works. They knew that the real hit from the decline in the value of their pension fund that came from the 2008 and 2009 stock market decline. There was an initial hit in the 2010 budget, and then they knew there was going to be another big hit in 2013. And so what they did is in 2011 and 2012, they socked away more than $40 million into a pension reserve. What we've now seen in the 13 budget and now in the mayor's proposed budget for 14 is gradually drawing down that reserve while they are also gradually ramping up the amount of property tax levy that needs to be committed to the pension fund as a way to sort of smooth out the pain. I think the result is that largely services are being maintained. Now, is that good enough, I think, is a legitimate question that can be asked. But they've been able to avoid some major pain in terms of service cuts because of this very foresightful strategy.
The pension fund is not a completely solved problem at this point. There are some looming challenges down the road.
Yes. And so what they've done, another change that was made more recently, was to construct the employer contribution in a way that it's going to be level so that they don't have to try to accommodate these big swings up and down. But they know that going forward, it's going to be a set percentage of payroll, which is going to be roughly in the $62, $63 million per year range. So good news, it's going to be smooth. We can plan for it. Bad news, $62 or $63 million when you consider that the overall city property tax levy is in the $250 million range. That's a lot of money.
What are the other key looming challenges you see the city facing in the near-term future, the next several years anyway?
Well, the city, like the county, has been able to recognize some really remarkable healthcare savings. And so similar question as to the county. Are those going to be exhausted? What happens when healthcare starts rising again at 4%, 5%, 6% per year? That's a big number that the city has to accommodate. Again, the city's aging infrastructure, local streets and buildings and so on, is going to demand some substantial attention. Now, if their revenue streams have some elasticity to them, those aren't as big a problem, particularly because now the rate of growth of healthcare is projected at 4% versus the former 8 or 9%. The problem is their revenue capacity is very limited. They are even more reliant than the county on state shared revenue. That revenue stream has been flat, actually took a big hit in the previous state budget. And so the city has very little wherewithal other than some raising fees and the limited ability to increase the property tax to accommodate these rising expenditure needs.
You do point to a couple of specific areas that you say deserve extra credit, the foreclosure initiative and street repairs.
Yeah. So when you look at the city budget, again, for those who are reading the newspapers about the murder rate going up, and obviously we are aware of some very severe poverty issues in the city of Milwaukee, we're not seeing a lot in terms of new initiatives there. But there are two areas in which certainly great attention is being paid. One is the foreclosure initiative, which obviously does have an impact on city poverty. And about $11 million is being put into a variety of strategies to combat the impact of foreclosed properties in the city. And we do see a continued commitment to try to make sure that the replacement cycles for local streets and roads is up to date, and that we're taking care of the major problems in the city's infrastructure.
So in short, you give the city's budget pretty high marks.
In terms of a fiscally responsible budget, without question, should that lead your listeners to believe that the city's financial problems are taken care of? Absolutely not. And again, the big question is, to the extent that the city would need to generate the wherewithal to put additional resources into major problems, the capacity to do so is very limited.
Rob, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Hankin is the president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. He spoke with Mitch Tyke. There are links to the forum's analyses of the proposed Milwaukee city and county budgets from WUWM.com/lakeeffect. Coming up, a revised edition of a book on Wisconsin's Indian nations captures their modern history. That's next on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.